The last episode was all about the Franklin Expedition, and it had me slinging facts and quotes left and right. Because there were so many interesting things related, with some more removed than others, to the cursed painting. When editing the audio, I had to edit out a couple of times when I just simply ran out of breath. There was a lot to cover, and we were just skating along the surface. Whew. We left off with two abandoned ships, no survivors, and the terrible story that the officers and crew of the ship had perished in the hostile environment of the polar desert, some never accounted for. Grim, sad, and beyond a difficult story, but that leaves us at a turning point in our story. Welcome to the Whispering Gallery, as we continue the story about man proposes and God disposes the cursed painting. The expedition left England in 1845, and to that, the search and rescue started in 1847, ending 40 expeditions later in 1859. The search for the Franklin Expedition ended 14 years after they departed. That's holding out some serious hope. But was it? There was still the lure of finding the Northwest Passage, and the glory of discovery. And going on these rescue missions came with the chance to discover the Northwest Passage. Plus, it sounded noble. 5 years after the rescuers stopped looking, it was 1864, we arrive at our painting of choice in this episode, Man Proposes, God Disposes, by Edwin Landseer, who was living in Victorian England. So what is with that painting title? This section talking about the title isn't super long, but we are heading into a few minutes of finding out where it showed up first. As far as I could tell, anyway, I present to you three quotes and history of the phrase, man proposes, God disposes. The first quote is from Wikipedia.org. Quote, the phrase, man proposes, but God disposes, is a translation of the Latin phrase, homo proponit, sed Deus disponit. Excuse any Latin pronunciation. Continuing. From Book 1, Chapter 19 of The Imitation of Christ, a 15th century book by the German cleric Thomas A. Kempis. A few modernized and paraphrased Bible translations use it as a translation of Proverbs 19:21. But the original of that verse is longer and more elaborate. The phrase was also put on a Dutch commemorative medal celebrating the Elizabethan England Protestant victory in 1588 over the Catholic Spanish Armada. I kept thinking I could rewrite or paraphrase some of these quotes, but I think they said it best, so I'll continue with the next quote. This one is from EnglishClub.com. Quote, this proverb is a translation from The Imitation of Christ by German-born Thomas A. Kempis, 1380-1471. For the resolutions of the just depend rather on the grace of God than on their own wisdom, and in him they always put their trust, whatever they take in hand. For man proposes, God disposes. Neither is the way of man in his own hands. This may be a reflection of a verse in the Bible, Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And Shakespeare, too, had a similar message in Hamlet, by Hamlet. There is divinity that shapes our ends, rough-hew them how we will. Unquote. That came from EnglishClub.com. So this kind of sounds like In God We Trust, maybe, right? This has been on U.S. coins since the Civil War, and later was enforced by law, Bill H.R. 619, signed by President Eisenhower in 1955. The following year, it literally took an act of Congress to create our official national motto, In God We Trust. That came from govmint.com, govmint.com. So now that we've talked about the story behind the painting, the story behind the title, let's dig in to who the painter was. Part 3, Edwin Landseer. His name was Edwin Landseer, and he was a popular artist who was known especially for his animal paintings and sculptures. And he hit the nail on the head. People absolutely loved them. Queen Victoria even ordered commissions from him, and they were friends. He was later knighted. And why was he knighted? I've been all over the place trying to find out. Could he have been knighted for being a good painter? I'm guessing so. He also created the lions in Trafalgar Square. Sir Edwin Landseer had a couple of pieces named in such a way that they struck a nerve with the audience and just notched up the viewer's response. For example, the old shepherd's chief mourner, I'm betting you can guess who showed up to mourn him, and it wasn't a human in the painting, but the shepherd's dog, his head resting on the closed coffin. His paintings of Newfoundland dogs were so popular that breeders in the 1930s set about trying to get the same look as the dogs in his paintings, and the Newfoundland with Landseer coat was created, with a black and white coat. Pretty influential. That was Shotzi, just saying hi. Edwin's father was an engraver, and Edwin, born in 1802, was adept at drawing when he was young and was already having his work displayed at the Royal Academy when he was only 13. He proposed to a lady but was not accepted, so he didn't ever marry, and he taught the queen art lessons, and he accepted commissions from the queen. In 1840, his mom died, and he had a breakdown. In 1850, 10 years later, he was knighted, and by now, he was dealing with depression and substance abuse. But this didn't stop him from painting. In 1866, he declined the presidency of the Royal Academy. He painted horses, dogs, and stags, mainly. In the summer of 1872, his family asked to have him declared insane. The following year, he died on October 1st, 1873. We've got something coming up that is going to touch the third rail, if that makes me sound hip. I'm not sure that it does. It might just kind of be a more difficult topic. So this is about his melancholia. So from the research I've done, some of the treatments for depression and melancholia did include alcohol, morphine, and medicine to make them sleep at night. Some doctors even told patients to shower often while at asylums. There were other terrible water treatments. They would also put patients in cold baths, and for single women, they would suggest they get married and have children. In my research, they have talked about substance abuse like crazy. They don't talk about, you know, they talk about alcohol, but they don't mention the other things, which could have been his depression medication that his doctors were giving him. Or else maybe he was self-medicating, I don't know. So he was a successful artist, as discussed, a favorite of the queen. I don't know if he was under treatment for assistance with his depression or melancholia, as they called it. In these articles, in the judgment of the world that he was an alcoholic and using drugs, I guess I just wanted to point out that it could have been treatment from the doctors of the time. So, and then if the crossing of these items can happen, it can be deadly, which is horrible. One other way to think about it. He had a substance abuse problem, which seems trite to say. It sums up the behavior, not the how or why of how it started, the motivator. If it was a prescription from a doctor, so to speak, or suggested by the doctor. I'm not saying any of substance abuse is justified. I'm just trying to understand the history of Edwin Landseer and the condition and the treatments at that time. Edwin was on his own difficult path. Unfortunate beginnings of his struggles with mental health and depression. And it seems this started more hardcore after losing his mother in 1840, which resulted in a breakdown. My dachshund is over here standing up asking for cookies. She will get one in just a sec. It's a good thing treatment of depression and mental illness has progressed and is still a study. At the University of Utah, Dr. Mickey in particular is studying genetic markers in conjunction with Johns Hopkins University for depression. So there are medications and treatments like cognitive behavioral therapy, and at the University of Utah, there is a treatment-resistant depression clinic that specializes in three treatments in particular: transcranial magnetic stimulation, ketamine, and electroconvulsive therapy. Part 4, The Cursed Painting. What is a curse? I typed away my question going into Google to dish up a wonderful answer to illuminate us all. And from the myriad of online dictionaries, I was able to glean the meaning that I was looking for. So what I got instead was curse words, swearing, a wish or prayer of harm, misfortune, magical words to cause problems, to deserve or be under a curse. So I think wordreference.com nailed it. Quote, a formula or charm intended to cause such misfortune to another. That is what we are thinking has been placed upon this painting of Man Proposes, God Disposes by Edwin Landseer. So Royal Holloway, University of London in Egham, Surrey, in the south of the United Kingdom, has a motto that means to be rather than to seem, esse quam videri. In quoting the BBC by Magazine Monitor, published the 13th of September 2014, by BBC.com News, quote, the polar bears made me do it, are the eeriest words to emerge from the urban legend of Edwin Landseer's painting, a grisly depiction of two polar bears hanging at Royal Holloway, University of London. Since the first exams were taken there in the 1920s and 1930s, it's been a painting associated with failure. If you sit directly in front of it in an exam, you will fail. Unless it's covered up, goes the myth, according to the college curator, Dr. Laura McCulloch. Recent graduate Michaela Jones was told that a student during an exam had stared directly into one of the polar bear's eyes. Trance-like, the student had gone mad and killed herself, although not before etching the words, quote, the polar bear made me do it, quote, onto her exam paper, or his paper. I've heard it was a girl. I've heard it was a boy. I've heard about three different ways that they killed themselves, says McCulloch. Of course, the incident didn't happen. No evidence exists to the contrary in the university's archives. End quote. About the painting for our art history peeps. The dimensions are 91.4 centimeters, which is 36 inches, by 243.7 centimeters, which is 95.9 inches. In 1864 by Edwin Henry Landseer, and Man Proposes, God Disposes is an oil on canvas. Location is at Royal Holloway in the University of London, London. That was from Wikipedia. The scene is of polar bears in an icy landscape with what looks to be icebergs and mounds of ice all around. One polar bear has a bone in its mouth and the other is pulling on the British flag. This was purchased in 1881 by Thomas Holloway, and yes, that's Royal Holloway University. Are you ready to leave the chilling, whispering winds of the cold Arctic behind? I mean, it's supposed to be spring, after all. The bulbs in my garden are trying to break through, but keep getting clobbered by crazy spring snowstorms. And I have a question to ask. What sits on the bottom of the Arctic Ocean and shakes? A nervous wreck. the Terror and the Erebus both sank. So if you want some more of this cold spookiness related to this story, consider watching The Terror, a supernatural horror series on AMC. Erik Nordenskjold, I don't know if I'm saying the right, was the first person, though, to navigate the Northeast Passage. How does it happen when you have a whole crew with you and you're like, ta-da, I was the first person. Are you on the very front bow of the ship? Or how did you get to be the first person? Anyway, just saying, it sounds like Erik and his crew probably were the first people to navigate the Northeast Passage. Maybe I'm just nitpicking. Roald Amundsen made it by air to the North Pole in Norge, a dirigible, in 1926. Some good points to remember. Thank you for joining me on this voyage into the frozen world of the North, and the terror that befell the explorers of the Franklin Expedition, and for diving in to take a look at the knighted artist, painter of animals, dogs. Yeah, I keep going back to dogs, but I work with the dog rescue. And someone who struggled with depression and substance abuse and knocked our socks off with his lions in Trafalgar Square. I hope this episode finds you with more light in your days and occasional sunbeams to bask in. In September of 2018, there was a fifth sphinx-like fluorescent red, I'm not sure if that's an official color, lion created by S. Devlin, who joined the four historic 20-feet-long lions by Landseer in Trafalgar Square. The original lions by Landseer took a heck of a long time to create. First there was a committee, then there were delays by the artist. One of the delays was caused by Edwin waiting for the corpse of a real lion from the zoo that had died naturally, so he could use it for anatomic reference. There's a note that the paws look a little different because they were decomposing by the time he got to them. But other people say the lions are posed rather sphinx-like. 9 years after accepting the commission, they were put in place. There's a lot of flack out there for how long it took Edwin Landseer. Even though they are an attraction and very popular, they're still sour grapes. The fluorescent red lion was an installment titled Please Feed the Lions. This was an interactive exhibit where visitors would feed the lion a word, and the AI, or machine learning, would expand it into a two-line poem. During the day, the poem was displayed in the lion's mouth, and at night, the poem was projected on Nelson's column. 50,000 words were submitted to the lion while it was there. There is a legend that if Big Ben were to chime 13 times, the lions will come to life. Part two of this series has been rather difficult to pull together. The suffering Edwin Landseer experienced due to his melancholia, aka depression, whether his addictions were started by his own choosing or a doctor's treatment of his melancholia condition, just the treatments during the Victorian time period were difficult to learn about. I almost couldn't finish telling this story. I was on the fence about finishing it. But Edwin Landseer's life and art is the whole reason we're even telling this story. I am not a doctor or a counselor, nor am I endorsing any of the treatments from Victorian times or now. I'm simply telling the story as it unfolded, and as usual, the topics I read up on bring up questions. Please seek medical advice from your doctor and qualified, licensed mental health professionals. The reason I'm talking about this is the hope that someday we may destigmatize even talking about the subject of depression and mental health. If you find yourself in urgent need, call 911 in the USA or your emergency number where you are. In the US, the suicide prevention hotline is 988, voice or SMS. So wow, that was some very serious stuff. But as far as I can tell, we covered the whole story from the Franklin Expedition, to the rescue efforts, to the geological area like the Arctic Desert, the artist Edwin Landseer, his life at a glance, and the cursed painting itself. I'm so glad you're here with me exploring these strange stories and all of the things that get dug up in between. You're not going to want to miss the next episode. And remember to keep your flashlight close and your spooky art stories closer when visiting the Whispering Gallery. Take care, everybody. Talk to you soon.